Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. I think you will. Welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. Hope is here.
Hello.
And we're doing another live show. If you haven't been to one of these, we typically do them in the evenings on like a Thursday or a Wednesday. We do them live. You can follow me on Twitter, ANNZach. We're having a good time. We have a live audience in the chat room here, but we're going to take Twitter questions first. But joining me, as has happened a few times for these live shows, it is graphic designer extraordinaire. You've seen his work on the Tales of series. Most recently, Tales of Zestiria, and basically every discotheque product. Brady Hartle is here. Brady, thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. How you doing, Zach? How are you guys?
I am doing pretty good. How are you?
I just got back from the beach over the weekend, so I'm doing a lot better than I was before.
All right. Okay. How was the beach?
Fun. Hot, but a lot of fun. Really relaxing. I've been doing so much Tales of Zestiria that I needed the break. It was more like Tales of Lost Sleepia for a while.
See, that's weird because the title suggests that it's a very refreshing game.
Oh, the zest for adventure. How did you know what the tagline was?
Other than that, you've been, I mean, Discotheque, we just watched Discotheque announce a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You've known about all that for a while, I'm sure.
Some of it. I mean, I've been working on some of it. Like, the last three or four of them are ones that I'm working on. So, yeah, I mean, I just have wrapped Lupin versus Conan. So all of that should be in. Working on Ray Earth. We found a really crazy Canadian pilot for it. That is, like, the sort of cheesiest 90s dub with a crazy, like, theme song and everything. Like, Escaflowne kind of, like, cheesy theme song. So, we got, like, the preliminary permission to include it, so that should hopefully be on the Blu-ray. It's got like everything you would think of from a 90s like dub, TV dub. Like, the characters are named like Luce Marina and Anemone. It's pretty great.
Man.
Good God.
Well, that sounds exciting. I mean, so did you say you got permission or you're waiting?
Yeah, we got preliminary permission to include it, yeah. So it is looking, fingers crossed, that it will be on the Blu-ray. So I'm pretty happy about that. And a lot of stuff going on like that. We're doing like IGPX and... we got the original masters for that, and so we're remastering those in widescreen. In fact, Jose, who I think is in the chat, has been working on that like nonstop for months. So, yeah, lots of stuff. Lots of stuff.
That's cool. Bloodlust is out like real soon, right?
Yeah, that's done. I think it's like shipping to people who ordered it from like Right Stuff. Maybe I know some people have it. So
okay, so it's out. It's out in the wild.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of it, so yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
I should start pre-ordering that stuff from Discotheque. If everyone who pre-orders from Right Stuff, if you get it from there like weeks ahead of everybody else, because my Amazon pre-order isn't set to fulfill until like late September, I want to say mid September.
Yeah, that's because that's the real street date. I think if you pre-order from the Discotheque website and Right Stuff, usually it comes earlier. I'm not sure which one comes earlier than the other, but I think that's how it works out.
Yeah. I don't know. I like getting stuff. I mean, you know, we don't get screeners of Discotheque product usually, so we just buy it. And getting it early would be cool.
I don't even have a copy, so
well, there you go.
I can't really. Yeah.
I mean,
I just have the proof disc.
I'm sure you get them for free.
Once I can get him to send them. He's like, I usually get him, like, honestly, because he has to fulfill people first. I usually get mine, like, a couple weeks to a month after everybody else.
Well, it's not like you're dying to watch this stuff.
No.
I mean, at that point, it's just like, this goes in my portfolio and that's it.
It's like, I watched this like 90 times to proof the disc.
Yeah.
if it's ones I proofed. Like, I want Robot Carnival because I didn't really work on that one. Uh-huh. And that's been hard to get. Like, that's been selling out, so.
Yeah, I need to get that myself. Okay. Yeah, they also picked up Kyoso Giga, which I've heard is good.
I just 10, 15 minutes ago got the art for that, and I'm doing the packaging for that, so I'm looking forward to it. It looks really, like, it has, like, it's really strange and interesting looking, so I'm kind of looking forward to it.
It's a favorite of the Sakuga crowd, I've noticed. That particular breed of fan really seems to love it. Anyway, so have you had any time to do anything other than work?
You'll actually be happy because, like, if we actually talk, like, what streaming, I've been watching at least a couple different shows, like a couple of ones that I'm not working on, which is surprising.
Wow. Okay. What have you been watching?
I've been watching Raka Brave of the Six Flowers, and I started Charlotte. I'm like 3 episodes into that. And I've been watching Gunbuster with my friend, which is not new at all, but I've never seen it before.
Hope you're watching Raka and the other one.
Yeah.
Charlotte.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. What's your take? How do you feel?
Raka is, I don't know, it's a little bit, I mean, the production problems to me kind of pull it down from being what could be a really good fantasy show. It's interesting enough to want to see what happens in it. I think the characters are interesting. I think the plot is interesting, but it is not. It's kind of like, well, if you're already kind of into this aesthetic, then watch it. But it's not. It's just the production is just such a mess, and the pacing could be better. It's not a mainstream kind of appeal show. It's not one of those where you want to show it to other, like, non-anime fans or casual anime fans. It's not like that. It's still very much an otaku show. And then Charlotte is just Jun Maeda, which is, you know, if you like his style, which I'm beginning to a lot, then it's great fun, and it looks amazing, and he's gotten a lot better at character writing, and, you know.
I mean, what do you mean you're just starting to? Like, you loved Angel Beats.
Not really.
That's, like, his one really good thing, though.
I have feelings about Angel Beats, because
this is news to me.
No, I admire, it's kind of like my relationship with Trigun, where it's like, okay,
so you unconditionally love it from top to bottom.
No, but it's like, well, I don't know, it's like, this is a giant flawed thing, and I wish it was not a flawed thing, because I think the core is really strong. So Angel Beats has a really, really strong core, and then it's like the execution is, they thought they had two cores, and they had one, and that's why it plays out the way it does, but, you know.
So you're saying they were Coors Light.
Yes, exactly. But Charlotte seems much more comfortable with its running time, and it's kind of broadcasting its plot points a little more. I don't think it's not nearly as ambitious as Angel Beats, but as a teen melodrama, it's secure in itself, and it's doing a good job telling its story, so.
Yeah, like with Raka, I think, like, it really needed to, like, cut the first 3 episodes down into, like, one, like, to get to the actual premise of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if you just watch the first few episodes, you think, oh, well, they're going to defeat the big bad guy, and then, like the fourth or fifth episode, it's like, no, it's actually all of these heroes fighting each other, and you're trying to figure out who the mole is, pretty much. Like,
yeah, I do feel like it gave the first 3 episodes are supposed to give you a better indication of what the real story, that's what anime fans have been trained, the first 3 episodes is going to be a microcosm of what to expect from the story at large. Raka's first 3 episodes are set up, and then the fourth or fifth is where it goes, okay, this is the actual plot, and then it sticks with that for the rest of the time. And it is a better plot. It's, animation problems aside, like, we're the band of heroes who's gonna go fight the villain. Oh shit, none of us trust each other, let's immediately stab each other in the back, is a much better plot than assembling the team of heroes slowly. Like, so, you know, but it's a shame it took it that long to get there,
I think, like, if they do a digest movie kind of version of it, it'll be a lot better. Like, it's the last 3 episodes have been way, way more interesting than the first 3 or 4. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Despite the animation stuff, I think, like, so far, I'm 3 into Charlotte, and it's just pretty good. It's very Jun Maeda, though. Like, the second episode, it's like, here's the terrible backstory of this girl character. So, I'm still interested in it, because I really liked Angel Beats. I think, like, despite, like, that sort of pace-wise, like, falling apart halfway through. Angel Beats was one of my... Like, I really like that show, mm-hmm. despite whatever flaws it has. And, like, if he pulls off something that's actually, like, as interesting as that, but paced better, I'll be pretty happy with that show.
I like the love interests. I like that the lead guy is such a dick, but it's not like... so often it's like, oh, let's make him really nice, or let's make him really milquetoast or self-inserty, or let's make him a dick, but it's in a charismatic, like, Lelouch or anti-hero or villain sort of way. It's like, no, he's just a normal person, but he's kind of a dick, because that's a lot of normal guys. And then the love interest is so likable and so unique. Like, they play up that whole thing, spoilers, I guess, minor spoilers. He tries to set up a surprise thing for her that he thinks she would really like, and she says, no, that's not really my thing, and... In any other, like, I feel in a lot of anime, she would be being tsundere, or she would be, like, hiding her true intentions, or she, it would be some sort of, like, oh, women, but it's not. She's just, oh, that doesn't interest me. I appreciate the gesture, but it doesn't interest me. That's cool. Thank you. But thank you very much. It really means a lot to me. Like, she's just very sincere, but she's not emotional or girly or anything. She's just sort of, meh. She's
not about, I guess, Tamari or that character.
Now is, I think, her name? N-A-O?
Now, yeah, well, they could. That's her last name. It's Tamari or something. Like
she's
that.
Very well. Yeah, she's very blasé, and that's fine. And it's like, oh, this is just sincerely her character. It's not some front for some otaku fantasy. She's just a person. And he did that in Angel Beats too, but I think he's gotten better about it. And it's like, yeah, these seem like teenagers and not otaku wish fulfillment stereotypes.
Right. I'm not watching either of those shows, and thus have no comment.
is there some other show I should be watching?
You would like Ushio and Tora, I think.
You think so?
The animation it has really been great. Like, consistently that show looks really cool. If you like animation that looks like good old animation, like it's imitative of the 90s style, but it's not cheap. It is like fluid and kind of gross, and they make those big exaggerated 90s expressions, but it's all like high production. Like, the formulaic shonen story just completely does not bother me because it looks so good. So I just enjoy looking at that show. But yeah, Ushio and Tora.
I mean, Brady, did you ever watch the ADV VHS Ushio and Tora?
I think I had the DVD. Didn't they do a DVD of that?
Yeah, I think so.
I think. I think I remember having it in a pile. I think probably looked at it a little bit. I don't remember much about it.
I always found the premise to be super boring.
Well, it is. Like, it's super...
Super
the story,
boring.
The story is really rote, but goddamn, like, MAPPA's... Nothing is allowed to look that ugly and muscly and monster-y anymore, and it looks so cool, you know? But, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate what they're trying to do, but they'll need to revive a 90s franchise that doesn't immediately make my brain just go, nah.
Right. I understand, yeah. Like, I feel you. I'm just... This... Yeah, I feel...
Bring back Master of Mosquito.
that's another ADV.
I'm joking.
Brady, are you watching Monster Girls, the smash hit of the year?
Yeah, no.
You're not. I've gotten to the point where I'm unironically enjoying Monster Girls. It's too much fun.
So my anime viewing is like this. I have to run for an hour a day, so I put something on Crunchyroll because reading subtitles distracts me from the time left. And so these are the things that were suggested to me, and I've been having fun with them. So, I'm going to run out of episodes since I watch like one or two a day. So I'll probably check out Ushio and Tora, and I know I need to watch Blood Blockade Battlefront eventually, so I'll probably do that.
You might as well wait, because the last episode still hasn't aired.
Oh, really?
Still left us on a murderous... Yeah, well, it stopped at 11, and then there was, like, a scheduling conflict, and they delayed it for the 12th. They said, don't worry, the 12th is going to be, like, double length. But they never got a slot to air it, and so at this point it's just looking like it's going to be on the Blu-ray.
Oh, that sucks.
Which would be, I don't know, some future date, like November or December or something ridiculous like that.
I mean, Brady, if you watch Monster Girls, like, you'll watch one episode and then you will watch the rest, like, very quickly, and you'll watch just that until you're out of it. Like, that show is, like, cake. So, it's one of those things where, I don't know, that's the dessert. Like, if you're going to go to that, you're going to watch all of it quickly. Like, I guarantee it. It's total junk food.
Are you saying it's, like, good fluff, actually?
I mean, I've only seen like two episodes of it.
It's
but
disgusting. It's I mean, it's like, you know, most fan service shows sort of try to play at being decent. It doesn't. And at the same time, it's not humiliation porn. It's not like mean toward the monster girls. It's not like him like subjecting them to anything or anything like that. It's just hey, this is a really gross, weird fetish. Let's just shove it in your face. And it's like, yeah. It's like, hey, do you want to see a snake shedding its skin in an erotic context? Well, here you go. And it's like, well, there you go. Like, that's the show.
So it's pretty self-aware of what it's doing.
Yeah, it's very indulgent, self-aware, just very, yep, this is what this is. There's no pretense about it whatsoever.
Yeah, there's a few things I'm sort of interested in watching more of, but I have been watching Code Geass and only Code Geass for the last 2 weeks, and I'm still not done with it. And
God.
Is it a gas?
Yeah, sure. I, you know, we'll talk about that next week, but this is a show where social commentary is literally the Japanese people are taking a drug that makes them feel nostalgic. And then they just sit in this warehouse and get nostalgic, and then they don't do anything. They don't stand up and take arms. That's what Code Geass considers subtle social commentary. Like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. It is ridiculous.
It's very mean. When I first tried to watch it a long time ago, I stopped at episode two or at the very beginning of episode three because I was like, this is too mean. I only came back to it years later when I, like, was desensitized more, and I was like, yeah, sure is mean, is mean-spirited fucking show, but it's entertaining.
Yeah, it is entertaining. I just don't care at all about the characters or whether or not any of them live or die. Someone in the chat says, a constant stream of ridiculous twists and sensation. Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
It just doesn't make me feel anything. Mm-hmm. And so getting through that many episodes of it is, like, you know, you can watch something just for pure entertainment, but 52 episodes and it doesn't make you feel anything, like, that's a lot. Like, a movie is fine if it doesn't make you feel anything, but that much of a show where you're just like, this is goofy, this is stupid, this has very ham-fisted social commentary.
At the time, it was pretty well regarded, right?
Yeah, no. When it was coming out,
it was never well regarded. It was popular. People loved to watch it. It was never like, this is a smart. I don't think anybody ever said Code Geass was smart. I mean, I'm sure some people did, but it was the popular talking point around it. Even when I was in high school, and high schoolers think anything is smart, Death Note was the smart one. Code Geass was the fun one. And looking back, Death Note is not. I mean, it's smart in a fix the Rubik's Cube way, but it's not deep or anything. So, yeah, Code Geass was never like critically well regarded. It was like, okay, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I know. I just remember my friends were all over, and I'm like, I don't see the. The first thing is like, I think it doesn't look very appealing. Like looking at it.
They had these nice clamp character designs, which looked pretty good, but they put them in this really bland world. Like, it's very bland. It looks like, it's kind of like if you look at a show like Crossange, like, as bad as that show is, everything aside, it looks good. Like, the world that they're in is not the ugliest thing. Mm-hmm. It's visually interesting to look at. Mm-hmm. Code Geass is too muted. It's too generic.
Gray warehouses.
It's too many gray warehouses and brown hills and industrial thoroughfares and sewer pipes and, you know, big banks of computers that aren't. Yeah, it's just not. Yeah, I don't know. It's not particularly interesting to look at. But, like I said, I'm not enjoying it at all. Like, it is an entertaining show, but we'll talk about it more next week.
I like the weird faces. Like, ignoring that you're right, like, maybe the setting is boring, but the character designs, they don't go off-model very much. I believe that that show looks pretty visually consistent, and they make weird faces. Lots of characters make really weird faces frequent points, so that's good enough for me.
I will say the interesting thing about that is that is sort of was released kind of around the death knell of the 2000s industry. I know it was the very last, like, Kevin Seymour / animes / Magnitude 8 dub So it's sort of interesting, like, when that came out, more so.
Right. Yeah, it's from kind of an interesting time.
Should probably save some of that for the year.
We'll talk about it. Yeah. We'll talk about it next week, like I said. We don't have a third host for that yet, so if you're listening to this, you want to throw your hat in the ring, and it is before, let's say, next Wednesday, send me an email, Zach, at animenewsnetwork.com, and you will be considered. I haven't put the call out for it on Twitter or anything yet, so it'll happen. Happen soon. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get to the Twitter questions that we have. We have a few of them. First one from Divine Nega. He asks, what's going on with the set list, and is that ever coming back? This is a good question. Mm-hmm. We answered it a little bit on Twitter, but let's talk a little bit about this. Hope, do you want to, you know, talk about what's going on with the set list?
Yeah, so set list, if you don't know, takes a lot of time to do, principally because it is, A, a countdown. Countdowns take time, because they take a lot of research, and B, video, and then C, technical things happen when you try to make a video. Like, even just the time investment along with, you know, shit's gonna happen. Unlike, you know, like, maybe your computer will crash while you're writing a review or a column or something like that, but that's, you know, that's sort of a freak situation. Video editing, like, it is, you are, like, sort of sure that at some point something's going to go wrong and you'll lose many hours. So it's just a time-intensive thing, and doing it once every 2 weeks worked for a little while, but just, it was taking time away from other stuff that I needed to do that was more site important. So we basically decided to move it to a once, kind of got our bearings back together, and we're moving it to a once monthly thing, and that'll start at the top of September. So, yeah.
Yeah, there will be one per month,
yes,
time permitting. Mm-hmm. That's just basically going to be like a once-a-month feature. It'll happen when it happens. But Hope has a lot of responsibilities at the site, all of which are more important than the set list,
right,
which we want to keep going. Mm-hmm. It, you know, the traffic on it's okay. It does fine. But if you took, like, shelf life, and that took you 20 hours to produce, which shelf life does not take 20 hours to produce. Mm-hmm. And you look at, like, the traffic for it, you're like, oh, well, you know, this is fine, but the amount of time it takes to make this, mm-hmm, like, we kind of need you doing some more writing and stuff like that. It's more of a cost-benefit kind of a thing.
Yeah, basically.
Where if the set list took 3 hours to make, 5 hours to make, uh-huh, yeah, it would exist every single week. Sure, mm-hmm, no problem. But it takes a lot more time than that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's one of those things. But you will continue to see it, like I said, once a month, time permitting. So, yeah. Brady made the title cards for that.
Yes.
They look really good.
Oh, yeah, I did.
They look
and
awesome.
Like, in, like, 2 hours between, like, two projects, I was like, okay, I gotta help Hope out. Let me see if I can do this. And I managed to do something half decent, so.
It looked great.
I think they look really good. Okay, Madman4000 asks, why does Mecha seem to be going downhill lately? Well, I mean, I don't know what this guy is observing, but...
Is he referring to the thing that Code Geass caused? Like,
I mean,
he's referring to?
Code Geass has a lot of, I wouldn't say copycats. Those guys went on to make a lot of shows.
Yeah, it's not copycats, it is the people who made Code Geass making more things and making friends who make things in their style. Like, that's strictly speaking. But, yeah, if you could call that a downturn, Patient Zero is Code Geass, which we'll be discussing on the podcast.
For modern times.
Yes.
We're talking about the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah, specifically.
I mean, also, no one liked that most recent Gundam. Like,
yeah.
Tomino was like, sorry, this was a huge dumpster fire. Like,
Wait, Tomino actually apologized for it?
He came out and said, yeah, well, we screwed it up. Like, didn't
yeah.
he? That was what he did, right?
Mm-hmm.
He made public comments saying, like, well, people didn't like it, and I can't fix it now. Like, that's what he was saying. It wasn't over yet, and he's like, I can't fix this now. I can't make this what you people want.
Yeah.
Someone in the chat,
too logical for most audiences.
Yeah, someone in the chat mentions he said it was too logical for most audiences. Which is, okay, I've seen a lot of Tomino's stuff. Too logical is never his problem.
Mm-hmm.
That has never once been Tomino's problem.
Right. as I was saying, like, there's such a distinct, even pre-Code Geass, it's not like Code Geass created a new genre, it most certainly didn't. Like, there's a distinct difference between, like, you say mecha, do you mean robot shows, or do you mean super robot shows? Because that's completely different. Like, they're distaff genres, and the people who like them are, like, usually different groups of people. So, it's like, but yeah, so strictly robot shows, those have fallen out of favor largely, more than the super robot stuff, and they're kind of, like, you have Gundam kind of floundering. Like, Build Fighters does fine. Like, it does okay for the people in Japan. Over here, I don't know exactly what the base is, but, like, yeah, the super robot stuff, like, it's getting sillier and sillier. They're still following the Code Geass mode.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that, like, Mega's going downhill or anything. There hasn't been, like, a big hit in a little while. That'll probably change. I'm looking forward to that Mario Kata Gundam that's coming out, if it gets simulcast, which, you know, who knows. That seems fun. Okay, moving on here. Abunas3R asks, so, love nectar cookies, grossest thing or grossest thing? So, okay, this guy's referring to a gag in the show Shimonetta, which is, oh no, they're coming for our dick jokes, like the show.
Mm-hmm.
And in that show, everybody is woefully undereducated about sex,
mm-hmm.
and one of the characters decides to put her ejaculate in a batch of cookies.
Yes.
And the hero eats them.
It is an expression of love, because it is pure love juice that expresses how she feels about him.
Which is a good joke.
Yeah.
I approve of that joke. That's a funny joke. It's really so gross, horrible. But that is something you would see in, like, a Farrelly Brothers movie. Absolutely. It's really disgusting, but that's a funny joke.
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of lit the internet. Like, and nobody was... Interesting, like we're covering Shimonetta now basically because people started talking about that and then watching the show and talking about other jokes that it was doing. But yeah, like...
We saw enough people talking about Shimonetta and bringing it up and asking... I got enough emails asking why we weren't covering it. To say, okay, we'll cover it, you know, that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. I can put someone on it, it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. I am not watching it, I don't care to. I thought the level of satire it was going for was so simple that...
It's basically not satire at all.
And it eventually it isn't satire, right?
Like, if I understand correctly.
The veneer of that washes away pretty quick.
It's just a sex comedy, like, that's kind of it.
Yeah, right.
And mind you, I have not watched... up to wherever it is now, but, like, I saw a little bit more of it after the ejaculate cookie thing, and it's like, oh, you know, this is just a sex comedy.
Just a sex comedy,
no,
right.
There's not really any commentary here.
We'll see how it wraps up. I mean, maybe it has something more to say. We'll see.
Yeah.
Probably
not.
Yeah. It's not often you get pioneering sex jokes in anime. Normally they kind of do the same stuff over and over again. But that's a unique joke. I haven't seen
it. Oh no, I fell into her boobs and touched them.
Oh no.
Oh no.
It was I like that comic strip series that Chris Straub does, Super Boobs Look at High School. It's just like three panels, the guy sees boobs and gets a nosebleed, and, like, it just sequelizes over and over again.
The internet was going off about this. Some guy, it's like a mangaka who does, like, comedy normally, or not comedy. It was some slice of lifey stuff or something like that. And he did a short manga where the title in classic, like, super long light novel title thing is, "I'm in a harem comedy, but I'm gay, so every day is hell for me." And it's that describes the entire short manga basically. It's just like, oh no. Like, girl running with toast lands on his face, and he just has this expression like, again, Jesus, like, he's just so bored and so over it, and that's just the entire manga. It's funny, you should look it up.
Okay, CGIOI asks, since you always ask Funimation what's doing well for the site and what isn't, any surprises, good or bad? Okay, so things are doing really well for us lately. Our editorials have been doing extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
It's better traffic on those editorials than on a lot of our other stuff. Mm-hmm. That is a strategy that has proven to be successful for us, so that's going to continue. Tomorrow, when you're hearing this podcast, Hope has a piece on prison school that'll be up now.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's up this Friday.
It's fun to write.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Many words.
Yeah, so that stuff's doing really well. Our columns are doing just fine. Answer Man is doing great in its new format, like, much better. Like, that particular format suits Answer Man really well, and I'm glad we decided to switch over to that format. Other than that, yeah, it's kind of business as usual. I mean, it's a slow part of the year right now for anime and kind of for everything, so... But we're still... Yeah, I mean, things are doing really well. In terms of, like, surprises... I mean, we just got through a month where we were publishing a lot of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little disappointed at some of the traffic on the interviews. You know, it's weird. The truism about anime conventions, about how anime fans will pack a room for, like, an English voice actor, or if you call the panel Attack on Titan with the guy's name who directed it, mm-hmm. they'll show up for that, but you have to call it that, because if you just put focus panel, the director of Attack on Titan, like, just his name,
mm-hmm.
no one will come, because they don't know who that is.
Right, they don't names.
Believe it or not, the same is pretty true of editorial content.
Mm-hmm.
We it has to be a popular show,
mm-hmm.
or an English voice actor. The other stuff, and it's not like everything totally fails.
No.
It's just
sliding scales.
It's just it is demonstrably true that if I interview an English voice actor, that will do 3 to 5 times better in traffic than an interview with, say, a mangaka for a manga that is marginally popular.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because people don't. I mean, American fans or English speaking fans are not as familiar with names, Japanese names, creatives, that as maybe you would think. And so you really have to push the angle that they worked on this hit show. So, like, we did an interview with the director of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. That did great,
mm-hmm.
because I put JoJo's Bizarre Adventure in the title.
Yeah.
And JoJo's is not, like, a tremendous traffic driver or anything. It's not like people show up in droves for any JoJo's content.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give them something maybe they haven't seen before, and there haven't been a lot of interviews with that creative staff,
mm-hmm.
they
no,
will
he had
definitely
a lot to say,
turn out.
Which was surprising.
And he had a lot to say. Yeah.
Sometimes Japanese creative staff, they're kind of brief, they're kind of curt, they're kind of like, oh, here's my planned answer. This guy was just like, he's a young guy, too, so he's like, talks with his hands, very animated, very like, I'll be up front with you kind of dude.
Yeah, totally. And when you get somebody speaking out who's speaking a little candidly or giving less canned and less prepared remarks,
yeah.
people show up for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
We just ran an interview with the director of Yuki Yuna is a Hero, where he talks about how anime heroes these days are all flawless badasses,
yeah.
and he wishes they were allowed to be flawed again,
mm-hmm.
like you wouldn't have Shinji Ikari today.
Yeah.
And that got me thinking about Evangelion 3.0,
mm-hmm.
because Shinji is given all of his agency that he could ever need,
right?
And he still fucks it up. And I wonder if that's a commentary a little bit on
yeah.
super confident anime heroes, but
maybe.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah. In general, but that's expected. Honestly, these are traffic patterns I've seen for 10 years. And so that's sort of what's been going on. But yeah, things are really doing great. You're going to see a lot more editorials, and we've got some other fun plans for later this year. We are still working on a new webcomic. That's going to happen. It's just
someday.
Extremely time-consuming setting that thing up.
Mm-hmm.
Once it gets off the ground, though, hopefully. Yeah, I hope we have something to show you soon on that front. Anyway, moving on. Things are good at Anime News Network.
Yay.
Branko Berkson asks, has Daisuke's God Eater simulcast been successful? I have no idea. Ask Daisuke.
Yeah. Sorry, I don't know what to tell you.
I have no clue. God Eater seems to be having a lot of problems.
Mm.
In terms of, like, being on the air.
People are
finishing an episode.
Yeah, people are watching it, though. Like, it's not one of those things that nobody's talking about it. People kind of are. You couldn't force me to be interested in it, but there was some dialogue going on about it because it did some sort of kill 'em all thing, something like that, at some point.
Right. Yeah. Okay. What's your name asks? This is a two-part question. What's your favorite anime of the season so far? Hope you're sort of the only one prepared to answer such a question.
The one I look forward to the most is Monster Girls. It's not the best one. It's just the one...
It's just your favorite.
...that makes me happy. The one... The best, if you're into Durarara, it's been really good recently. Like, they're just cracking down on, like, consequences and stuff is building and changing and going crazy. But if you're not into Durarara, I would say Charlotte is the best thing this season.
Okay.
And
has this season been good or bad compared to winter and spring?
It's not as good as winter if you're one of those hoity-toits like me that liked hoity-toit things. But if you're not, if you're more, like, into action and stuff like that, winter was maybe bleaker for you. Winter was really strong for me because it had hoity-toit things and it had carryovers from fall that were really good, like Your Lie in April and Shirobako. But spring was death. Like, I liked Blood Blockade Battlefront, and I liked My Love Story, kind of, but it was the same thing every week. And that was it. Like, spring was death to me. So, summer, there's lots of variety. It's all genre, but it's a bazillion different genres, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I this season in particular didn't have a whole lot that I was interested in. I was watching something in spring, and I was obviously watching something in winter. This season, not so much. We'll see about the fall. I mean, I'm very excited to see One Punch Man. I everybody hypes the shit out of that, so I'm interested in seeing.
I'm looking forward to that myself. Yeah.
I haven't read the comics, so I'll just my first taste will be the anime. Okay. Speaking of which, Anime Wondering asks, I feel many have written this off as a bad season, but is it unfair to expect every season to have a future classic? Well, most of them don't. So if you really expect every season to have a future classic, I mean, good luck. It is not going to happen.
I thought winter was great, and it didn't have anything that was, like, future. Like, the most populist thing was Death Parade, but I don't know that that caught.
No, really. it didn't catch at all.
It didn't catch. I mean, with anime fans, I don't know that it caught. But, like, I thought winter was filled with great shit, but it was shit that, you know, like, is my shit or whatever. Like, Yurikuma Arashi is now one of my favorite anime, but it's not, I don't, you know, it's not one of those things where it's, like, So I don't measure stuff by whether something is a hit. I measure that for caring about anime expanding as a business, which it still is. Like, it's still that report came out about anime being 10% more, like, growth and profitability last year. So there's that. But you know, so looking at it as a business, I care about whether there's a big hit. If I'm just, for me, for my own personal enjoyment, I just look at it as, is there something engaging or interesting or new for me to look at? And this summer there is, so that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that the raise, the 10% hike is due to a number of factors. I'm sure of that. But so much is getting made that if they were seeing losses, that would be weird.
Yeah,
that would be, but you're making so much more. Like, yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah,
nuts. And that was great. I mean, that's great. I'm super happy that it's up 10%. That's wonderful. I mean, last year was also anime was the only home video market in the U.S. that didn't crater.
Mm.
It was the only one that showed any growth.
Yeah.
So anime, it's cool to like anime.
Nope, it isn't. Don't lie to the people, Zach.
Just put on sunglasses and
get my
do
skateboard.
Finger guns.
I'm gonna get my hookup skateboard.
Wheel around town with your Kirito backpack and be like, "Hey, man, it's cool to like anime."
Stand on the street corner, smoking a cigarette, and be like, "I'm gonna go home and watch some anime." Throw the cigarette into the gutter. Get on your skateboard. Vape up, yeah. Okay.
Lord.
All right. Let's see. Scotty415 asks, do either of you think that Edge of Tomorrow sequel Tom Cruise wants to do will actually happen? I mean, no. Maybe he could maybe make it happen. The first one was a disappointment at the box office, so
yeah.
I'm not... Yeah, I just don't see it happening.
Great movie, didn't do very well, though, unfortunately.
Or it would be a thing?
Why would... What would you want from a sequel to that? Do you need more of that story? I don't need any more. That one was fine.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do? Like, oh, now he only repeats lunch.
He only repeats Tuesdays in December.
Yeah. Like, what are you gonna do with that? I don't know.
Like, I think that first one was like, or the only one, and hopefully the only one, is all you really need to say about that story. It's a great movie. Just watch it again.
Yeah, it was fine. I'm not of the opinion that everything needs more. Like, just today, Amazon announced that they're thinking about doing a Galaxy Quest TV series.
Yeah.
You don't need more Galaxy Quest.
Mm-hmm.
The movie was perfect. It was everything you could do with that responsibly in an hour and a half. There is no need to do any more Galaxy Quest.
And as I say, that's one of the reasons I keep watching anime is because, for as many sequels as we get, and we get a shit ton of sequels in franchising, at least there's new IP every 3 months. Like, there's some new, there's always, like, too much new IP to watch, even good and bad, like, every 3 months. Like, at least there's that. Like, I feel like that's drying up in America to the degree where it's like, God damn it, you know, I want something that's not a sequel or a franchise, please. Pretty please.
Yeah. Invalid Name asks, are either of you watching broadcast dubs? Is anyone? I don't know if... I mean, I can't answer the second part of that. I'm sure they're doing... Like, Funimation would not still be doing those if they weren't doing... Weren't hitting whatever their projections were.
Yeah.
So they are clearly hitting whatever Funimation's projections are. I am not watching any of them. Are you?
No, not currently.
Brady?
No, I'm not. I mean, the other thing about those two is there has to be something else behind them other than just being... for broadcast, like, the licensor has to want them, or so. There's got to be something more to that in their heads when they're doing those.
Yeah, I watched Blood Blockade Battlefront all the way through in English, except for the last episode, which doesn't exist yet, but that was it. The other ones, like, I watched a little bit at the beginning to see what they sounded like for the shows that I care about, and that's it. And that was in spring, so I didn't look at any of the summer ones.
I mean, the broadcast dubs are an arrow in Funimation's quiver in the simulcast wars. They have the means to do them, and so they're going to do them as much as they can, because not only does it mean that they have those dubs basically finished for the DVD, but they can get them out to other broadcast methods quicker. So they can potentially go on Adult Swim faster, or potentially go to Netflix even faster, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good idea for them to do that, and obviously they've decided that it's working. So I would imagine...
Like, yeah, like, I mean, like, I don't think, like, just whatever the streaming numbers really matter in those. Like, there's like, all those other outlets and home video and all that that probably factors into if they're profitable or not.
Yeah, it's a big complicated thing. I don't think there's a simple answer to it, but if they weren't working, they wouldn't be around anymore. So,
because dubs are expensive, kids.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. And consider the expense Funimation must have had to have laid out to do that Haruhi Suzumiya dub.
Yeah.
Like, they did it in... I don't know if they did it in L.A. or in Texas.
I believe they did it in L.A.
If they did that, yeah. So they did that in L.A. outside of their in-house recording studio with a bunch of L.A. voice actors, including Crispin Freeman, who I am pretty sure doesn't do anything non-union anymore, if
you
I'm not mistaken.
You say that, but he was in the Fate stuff, and he was in...
That's true.
In,
maybe he still does non-union
every
stuff.
Every once in a while, he still does
that. I think he might if he likes it or something. Like, I'm sure he thinks that he
yeah.
cherishes
well,
his Harvey character.
Fate Zero is filled with mythological references, so I'm sure he was all over that.
Yeah. Andrew Guraruru asks, are you guys fans of Japanese cinema as well as anime? Any directors you like other than Kurosawa and stuff? Okay, and stuff, I'm going to assume he means Ozu.
Right, those are the two, you know.
Sure, the Japanese cinema, it requires a recommendation. I don't go after it on my own. If something gets good reviews, or if, like, Justin will tell me about a Japanese movie he saw that I should see, I will watch it. But it's not something I chase after myself. I am totally open to any recommendation. So if somebody tells me something's really good, I will go seek it out.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Sam?
It's an every once in a while thing. Most of the Japanese cinema that I've seen is, like, 60s and 70s and prior, and, like, I studied, I took a course specifically on Japanese cinema in college, and so I learned about the film history, and I watched examples from each era, like the exploitation stuff, and then Kurosawa, and the 80s, which were fun, like stuff like that. But yeah, it's a case-by-case basis. It's like, there are some directors that are that I know for making one film that I like, but I've never delved really deeply into the oeuvre. My favorite Japanese film is Woman in the Dunes, which is old and black and white and really good. So if you want to watch, it's arty. So if you want to watch art movie, that's about like companionship and fear and gender and shit, watch Woman in the Dunes.
Yeah, unfortunately I've been watching. Well, not unfortunately, in most cases. I've been watching live-action anime adaptations for an article that I still haven't finished. I'm not through most of them. I still have a bunch of them left to watch. But those are not what you go to for, yeah, like, super high-quality examples of Japanese cinema.
Yeah, I think the most recent part. Japanese film that I saw that was not, like, an anime franchise-related thing or whatever was Train Man. So yeah, like recent. Yeah.
Densha Otoko.
That was most recent thing, and that was like what, 2004, 2005. So yeah.
Yeah. The next thing I have to watch is the Rony Kenshin trilogy, which I had to fucking import because for some reason those aren't out here. But that is so dumb to me. Why are those out in the UK and not here?
Weird.
Come on, get your shit
together. The UK is a dope place.
I mean, I had to get Tokyo Tribe too, which I saw. I watched like most of that. I need to finish it. It's so cool.
Are you doing the Zeran movies?
I've seen those. I don't have to watch them again. Thank God.
No, they're very schlocky, like dumb, like almost like tokusatsu kind of movies.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's either, like, I'll watch dumb stuff like that, or if it's recommended to me, really, like, if there's something like Audition or something, where somebody says, yeah, you need to watch this.
Okay, speaking of movies, Daniel J. Berg asks, is Inside Out a lock for Best Animated Movie Oscar, or does it have serious competition? That all depends on the relative quality of The Good Dinosaur, which, I mean, has a similar troubled production history to Brave.
Minions for Best Animated Feature.
Yeah, Minions doesn't stand a chance.
Barf.
But, yeah, no, I don't think anything's gonna take it from Inside Out. Not by a long shot. I think you might see, like, when Marnie was there nominated, but it won't win.
No.
And, yeah, like I said, so Good Dinosaur is crippled from the outset, and I don't think it'll... that movie will have to be fantastic to be better than Inside Out.
Yeah, really.
Like, no way in hell. I just don't see it. Okay, so that actually wraps us for Twitter questions, and now we can take questions from the chat. So please go ahead and send us your questions from the chat. We tried to watch Home, that DreamWorks movie. We couldn't. It was
awful. I couldn't. Yeah, we didn't finish it because it was just like, every time I say this is the worst DreamWorks movie I've ever seen, which was Mr. Peabody and Sherman, I was like, man, I thought this would just be benign, but it's really quite, like, in-your-face awful. That's the worst. And then we saw Home, and it's like, I thought this would be benign, but this is really quite in-your-face awful. Like, DreamWorks, God, calm down. This is awful.
Yeah, it's really bad. Okay.
What's Home about? I haven't even heard of that.
You don't even want to know.
You know what it is. It's the purple alien.
Oh, that. Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. That,
voiced by Jim Parsons.
With the horrible Jim Parsons voice.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really bad. Anyway, J. Argumendo asks, do you think Attack on Titan will maintain its momentum here when the second season finally comes out to the U.S.? Yeah.
The manga's still been selling well, so.
Sure.
So that's the thing.
I think it's been dormant for a little too long, but yeah, I mean, that manga's still crazy popular, still selling millions. It slowed down because the TV show is done for the time being, but I think it'll. I don't know if it'll pick back up where it left off. Like, I don't know if it's going to remain as popular as it once was.
If they like tighten up the coup storyline, there's a coup d'état storyline. If they tighten that up and then they animate the shit out of the big action scenes, like, yeah, it'll
you don't think it'll pick up like Full Metal Alchemist did? Because, like, everybody was all over Brotherhood when it came out.
Yeah, it might. I mean, we can only hope. Mm-hmm. Attack on Titan is as close to a mainstream phenomenon as we've seen in recent memory.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean...
Like, it feels like the repeat of Full Metal Alchemist to me in terms of popularity. Like, that's just looking at how present it is.
In terms of cultural penetration, it's definitely the closest to FMA.
Definitely. I agree with all of that. Okay.
Also, that's Jose. He's working on IGPX. Hi, Jose.
Hello, Jose. All right. Let's see. Cool Dude wants to know, Hope, what do you think of Digimon X, Ross Wars, and Fusion?
I saw some of it subtitled way back in, like, 2009? Was it 2009 or 2010 when it was a long time ago. And then I saw some in English when the dub came out a million years later. And I liked the dub because it sounded just like the hokey old early 2000s, late 90s Digimon dubs. Because for a while there, when they changed it back over to Jeff Nimoy and Bob Buchholz as the voice directors for whatever the fifth season was, I don't remember, Data Squad is what they called it. Sorry, now we're just getting really deep into Digimon shit. But
that's
like,
okay.
When they changed the voice directors over for Data Squad, it sounded different. It sounded sort of like an imitant of other bad, like, 4Kidsy style dubs, or with a little bit of sort of a bang zoom, like, this is closer to the subtitles, but it's sort of flat. It, you know, it didn't have any of that, like, crazy hokey energy, and let's make this person sound like Boris Karloff, and let's... You know, like,
let's just rewrite the crap out of it.
Yeah, and so that's what Fusion sounded like, because it had Mary McGlynn on it again, and she's super good at that. She's super good at her job. And but yeah, it wasn't enough where I wanted to watch the whole show, because I had other things to do. But I was like, that's nice. Like, that's really nice that they that it sounds just like the old good hokey Digimon dubs, I guess.
All right. JP Cox asks, do you like the Bakemonogatari series? I couldn't get past the first episode. I couldn't either.
Yeah.
I've seen the first, like, two, maybe, okay, I've seen the first, like, two or three. We might have to watch that for a podcast, and I'm dreading it.
I'm honestly dreading it. Some people are like, I'm joking, like, oh, I'm dreading having to watch 50 episodes of this thing or whatever. No, that's what I would say about Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. I'm genuinely dreading having to watch the Monogatari series, because... I mean, so many reasons.
Yeah.
I
like reading... Nick Creamer on ANN writes about it for us. He's in love with it. And I like reading his stuff because it helps me understand why people like it so much. And I feel like I've read his pieces, I've seen a bit of it, and okay, probably not for me. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, every time I bring Monogatari up, someone goes, oh, you would hate that, Zach. You would hate it. And I'm like, oh, well, I better waste a whole bunch of my life powering through it.
Well, ignoring the pedophilia part, like the,
the what part?
The pedophilia. Ignoring that entirely, I have a bias toward economy of dialogue and things. A lot of my favorite stuff is economic with the dialogue and relies on the audience to read cinematic language in order to understand what's going on. Like, that's my favorite stuff. And Monogatari is wordy. It is people sitting down just talking. And it's like... And I know that that's what it is, because, like, people who love it say that's what it is. They're like, oh, yeah, like, it's people having long conversations with oblique angles and stuff like that. And I understand Shimbo's directorial style. I understand that it is... completely incompatible with cinematic language. Like, reading Shinbo is a completely different language from reading film. He just does whatever he wants, makes up his own rules, and a lot of them are pretty flighty and aesthetic and not really tied to anything deep. So the depth is going to have to come from the words and not the shot composition, so I'm going to ignore that and ignore some of the gross shots and listen to the dialogue. And the dialogue is just going to be like a word dump and dreading, because someday maybe looking at that, but yeah. Dread.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I want to give it a shot. I want to keep an open mind, and you know, that's genuinely very popular, so I want to take a look at it. I did get, like, two episodes into Katanagatari, which, that's the one, the 45-minute episodes, right?
Yeah, that's the, it's not Shinbo.
That's different.
Yeah, it's complete. It
has nothing to do with...
Well, it's from the same writer, but it is not Shaft, it's not Shinbo, which changes the way it looks completely. So it doesn't look the same, it's just the same novelist.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Why does this stuff have to be so... It's hard to follow it, really.
Why does this have to be so confusing?
It's just the same writer. It's like somebody wrote books, David Fincher adapts somebody's book, a different director adapts the same person's other book. Like, it's like that.
If I didn't see your question or I didn't get to it, feel free to repost it, because the chat scroll means I can't catch everything, so it's okay if you repost. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Dr. Slumps asks, now that The Legend of Galactic Heroes has been licensed and only yesterday is getting a dub and a U.S. Blu-ray release, are there any other big unlicensed shows or movies you would like to see get a U.S. release? Yeah, those Evangelion Blu-rays would be nice.
Yeah.
Macross 7, I would buy that. That'll never come out here, ever. Never, ever. I mean, at this point, it feels like everything has been picked up.
Polar Bear Cafe,
that's a good one.
I want that. And because every once in a while, I think it was 2 or 3 months ago, it would have been 3 months ago or more, I was like, I suddenly remembered that Polar Bear Cafe was never licensed, and it made myself sad.
Paranoid Agent is a good one to bring up.
Yeah, it was out of print. At least, like, it existed in print at one point instead of never.
And then somebody else brings up Macross Plus. If someone could crack Macross and just bring as much of it out here as they could, like, I don't know, just go get somebody, buy out Harmony Gold and then just release.
Macross Plus is still licensed by Stars / whatever's left of manga. Like, they still own it because you can still buy it streaming. So they still have a license for it for now, I guess.
Yeah, I have my crusty old DVDs of it somewhere.
It really needs to be, that show though, Macross Plus really needs like Blu-ray, like just 100% Blu-ray.
Yeah. I mean, a Blu-ray exists.
In Japan.
Yeah, in Japan.
I mean, like a legit U.S. release with the dubs and everything on it. But the unfortunate thing about the Japanese Blu-ray is the fourth episode does not have, it has a completely different weird dub that has, like, David Hayter as Isamu Dyson and all that. Like, it's not the same one as we have. It's really strange.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, there's a few things. People are bringing up Future Boy Conan. I mean, sure, I've never seen Future Boy Conan. I hear he's a boy from the future, though. Which sounds interesting.
He was one of the main influences on Steven Universe, so there's that.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I was joking. I would like to see that. I know a lot of people would love it if that came out, but that'll be a Discotech release, I'm sure, someday. They'll just dump that out all at once.
Like the one really long one that I want is probably coming out, so I can't say that one. Okay. I mean, like, I know people say Dr. Slump, but do people really, really, really want Dr. Slump? Because, like, I don't think that would sell.
No, I don't think the TV show would sell. I think you did what you could with the movies.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I could see the other movies coming out, like, that might sell enough. I mean, he said the movies, like, from what I heard, the movies sold pretty well, but, like, it's like, how do you pay to have that many episodes subtitled and still make a profit? It's, like, it's very, very hard.
Yeah, I don't know. It's those long shows, I just don't think they're for this world. I mean, Robert Woodhead at Animego was like, yeah, we could do Yurisei Adzura, but that Kickstarter would be gigantic, and it would be all at once. Mm-hmm. Be like, fuck! How much would you have to spend for that?
And he was like, if I did that, he's like, I would probably do a best of Blu-ray or something like that, and this is what his answer was at Otakon.
Yeah,
so.
The best of. Just put out, actually, just movie collections. I would be fine with that. Like, if they just did all the UI movies, that would be fine. I mean, what else do you need? Well, you need, like, every episode of that show. Here's how it goes. Ataru latches on someone. Lom zaps him. The end.
Sometimes there's other things like vampires.
She calls him darling.
Ventura as base people.
There's a new kind of alien coming, and they have to get rid of it. Ataru latches on someone. Lom zaps him. Oh, Ataru. Created by Rumiko Takahashi. That's it.
She owns more money than you will ever see in your entire life.
I'm not bagging on Yurisei Adzura. It's my favorite Rumiko Takahashi thing, but you don't need 400 episodes of that. Mm-hmm. You don't need it. Are you ever going to get through it all? No. Anyway.
Someone's going through all that Ranma, man. Someone's going through it.
Yeah, I'm sure. And they must very much love those characters. Mm-hmm. If somebody brought up Kimigari Orange Road, sure. I would like that too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I would ever watch it. Mm-hmm. I would probably watch some of it and be like, Kimiguri Orange Road. Well, back on the shelf with you.
The opening movie is super good. Or excuse me, the opening song is super good.
The opening song. I was about to say that movie is just depression.
No. I meant like the opening theme with the silly dancing animation saxophone and the good song.
Right, yeah. And then everyone loves the Top Gun episode. That's the only one most people have seen, I think. I actually liked Shin K.O.R. Did you ever see that? Brady, did you ever see that?
No,
It's,
sad.
Yeah, it's also sad.
is that the movie that ADV put out?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I kind of remember that.
I think it's good. I liked it a lot. I haven't seen it in a long time. I don't know if it holds up, but I would like to see it again. Let's see. Poop asks, Dragon Ball Super, anything changed speculation-wise? Nope, I still think... I'm holding to my original speculation that someone is holding out for television. Mm-hmm. To be perfectly honest, I don't think it's going to have a big impact on Dragon Ball Super's fortunes at all.
Yeah.
The fan subs are not penetrating, it seems, past normal people who use fan subs.
It's Dragon Ball, like, whenever they release it. Like, the show is from the 80s and the early 90s, and it's still selling, like... It's got, like, whenever they put it out, it's going to sell. It's going to be fine.
Anyway. Okay. RTNS287 asks, what do you think of Hideaki Anno and the director of the Attack on Titan movie working together on the next Godzilla film? Well, it is the first Godzilla film I am crazy excited to see. I want to see. I will watch the fuck out of that. Like, that sounds great. Because I really like that live-action Attack on Titan movie, and if Anno does anything, I'm going to watch it. So, yeah. Awesome. Really want to see that. What I'm not looking forward to is American Godzilla 2. Because in hindsight, like, we walked out of the theater for Godzilla, and I was like, that was fine!
I was way more down on it.
You were.
Like, holy shit, you guys.
I saw it again on cable, and it has 10 minutes of good stuff in it. And those 10 minutes of good stuff were really good. The rest of that movie is a complete wash.
Yep. It's just like, the stuff with the monsters is great. And I understand that they're trying to follow, like, oh, don't show the monster much. Okay, then fill that time with characters we care about. Otherwise, look, you know, no. Well, the Japanese movies, make a good movie. I don't make a good movie.
Okay, a lot of people are asking us for our favorite monster girl. Hope, do you have one?
Yeah, it used to be, kind of a tie between Snake Girl and Centaur, but now it is firmly Spider Girl. Arachne. They all have names that are really on the nose, but I think her name's Arachne.
Someone said Rachnera.
Rachnera, that's it. So Rachnera is the best monster girl because she's just very assured of herself and funny, and she has yet to like comically and stereotypically hit the protagonist. And the protagonist likes her sexy spider legs. So, like, he hasn't shown like actual proclivities toward any of the monster girls. He just sort of finds them generically hot. But, like, he looks at the Spider Woman and he's like, I don't know why, but insect legs turned me on. You need to know that. And it's like, well, clearly they should be together. Because that's not a common fetish, I don't think.
Yeah. I haven't seen episodes with the Spider Girl in it yet. But, I don't know. I mean, she's the main girl, but I like the Snake Girl. I think all of her jokes are funny. At least they made me laugh. Weirdly, I'm terrified of snakes. So maybe there's some kind of weird taboo thing going on here, psychologically, underneath the surface.
Well, then you haven't seen, like, it was the third or fourth episode, I think, where she describes to him how their species makes love, and it is, specifically, it is as snakes do, wrapping herself around him and, like, secreting oils and humping for, like, 8 hours, like, specifically. So...
Okay, well, I'm not
That's horrifying.
Okay, I should point out, when I said I think I like the Snake Girl the best, that does not mean, oh, I fantasize about the Snake Girl.
I just mean it was scary. It took her from, oh, she's funny and a little dangerous because she doesn't know her own strength, to, oh, Jesus Christ,
then
run.
Why did you phrase that as though, because, well, but if you had sex with her, by the way, not a real character.
No, I'm just saying... I'm just saying, like, oh, she's funny and cute at first, but holy God, it got really scary when she described how snakes mate.
Well, now...
It is actually how snakes mate.
Now, because it would be implausible for me to have sex with this anime character, she's no longer my
favorite.
Just
saying she got scary is all I'm saying. She got scary.
Okay.
Is there a duck girl? I picked a duck girl.
A what?
Is there a duck monster girl?
That's not a monster.
Harpy. Aww, there's a harpy.
Okay.
Does harpy? A harpy count? A harpy takes bird baths.
Okay, I picked the harpy.
Okay.
I have no idea what she looks like or what she does or how she talks or what her gimmick is, but I'll pick harpy.
She's the one that looks underage.
Oh, no, why did she do this to me? Oh,
not.
Why?
She just looks that way because they have to be... Well, their excuse is that she has to be, like, light enough to fly, so, you know, whatever.
No!
J.P. Cox asks, do you like Legend of the Galactic Heroes? Yeah, I mean, I've seen a chunk of it. Justin and I watched a bunch of it, like, years ago for a podcast. We didn't get that far through it, but I did like what I saw. It was very interesting. It was, you know, kind of dry. I think that's what Logue is known for.
Fancy that. Arslan was dry as well.
Yeah. Well, that guy draws. He writes these big, sprawling epics, like classical science fiction and fantasy. Big deals in Japan. I'm looking forward to watching it. I'll buy those Blu-rays. I'm looking forward to watching the whole thing. We'll do a podcast on it at some point. Ooh, that's like 100 episodes, so maybe not.
I don't know about that.
Maybe we'll do it in two parts or something. I gotta start picking shorter shows, that's for damn sure. Okay. Liu Dare asks, will Gen Urobuchi ever get another real project? Yes.
Well, of course.
Of course.
He's got the most assured work of, like, any anime screenwriter.
I mean, I don't think he, like, kills himself working like half the anime industry does. So good for him.
I think he does. Like, he's been working nonstop for years now.
Yeah, well, yeah, but he's not running a show every season.
No. He
contributes to a lot of things, but he's not running a show every season.
Yeah,
even every year.
Yeah, he said explicitly, like, I don't even touch or suggest things directorially. I just turn in my scripts. Which is why all the shows he's worked on, like, they have his writing voice, but the directorial style of all of them is completely different. So, interesting.
Yeah, of course he'll get another real project. Horace Renoir asks, what American TV are you watching this season? Right now, I like most everybody in my little bubble I'm watching Rick and Morty, which is fantastic. So that's my favorite thing on right now. I think that's one of my new favorite shows. Really love Rick and Morty. Like, deep inside. I love that
show. Oh, it's really good. It's super, super
good. It's really good.
Even me with no time, I've watched the whole first season and part of the second, and it's good.
That most recent episode felt like it was written by somebody else, though.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that. The Get Swifty episode, that was like, wait, this isn't... Like, did Dan Harmon drop the show and somebody else, like, stole it and returned it after an episode? Like, is that what happened?
Well, it didn't even seem to be Justin Roiland's sense of humor, either. It was different. Something was different.
Something was off.
I feel like somebody else came in. I'm also watching Documentary Now, which is the most specific and weird comedy I've seen in a really long time. For people who haven't heard of this, it is a miniseries on IFC that stars Bill Hader and Fred Armisen, and it's a faux PBS documentary series, but the conceit is just an excuse for them to shoot these sort of 22-minute, I don't want to say parodies, because they're not parodies, but they're sort of playing on a popular or famous documentary. So, like, the introductory episode was a play on Grey Gardens, and the joke was that the two ladies in Grey Gardens were horrible murderers.
Hey, guys, you know what Grey Gardens is?
Does it?
No?
Yeah.
Gee.
Great. You have to know what Grey Gardens is? You have to be, like, the level, the port of entry for Documentary Now is very specific. It's totally me, though. I'm the target audience for that show. But... Yeah, it's not funny. Like, it's not like, ha ha ha, it's like, huh. Like, that's what the show is. It's very weird. It's very high concept. I like it a lot. It's called Documentary Now. That's, like, the most unique thing I'm watching. I did watch True Detective Season 2.
I didn't.
Like, yeah, you were smart.
I gave up.
You were smart not to watch that show.
I was like, this is the worst dialogue, and I can't handle it. You watch it for me.
And Review is on now. Review is really good. That show is brutal. It's like the... That show is like the purest, dark, like, pitch black comedy. Review. And that show is brutal. Okay.
What about Brady?
Brady?
Oh, so yeah, Rick and Morty. I started watching Marin, and it's a lot funnier than I thought it was going to be, actually.
Marin gets really good as it goes on. I don't know if the third season is on Netflix yet, but that's the best so far. Like, that show has done nothing but improve. I actually think it's better than Louis is right now.
Because, like, I turned it on, I was like, oh, this will be good background watching, and I found myself, laughing at a lot more of it. I was like, oh, this is actually... And like, I'm, like, midway through season two, and it keeps getting funnier, so I'm keeping on with that. It's not really super recent, but I ended up watching, like, all of 30 Rock from the beginning.
Okay.
Which, it's kind of interesting to watch, because, like, I saw some of it early on, and it's just old enough that, like, the first couple seasons are, like, really dated.
Yeah, they are. I did that myself. I went back to early 30 Rock and was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Blast from 2005 or whatever.
Yeah, it's like 10 years old. Like, it's, I think, like, next year it'll be 10 years old is when it started. So it's like, wow. Like, it was made sort of back when it was okay to be like, oh man, you're so gay, like, to say that on a show. And so it's sort of interesting that, and like, all of the Bill Cosby love, like, considering everything that's gone on recently, is just kind of weird. But that show was really, you know, I ended up watching the whole thing, and I'm like, I kind of wish I watched it before, but then again, I'm like, when this started, I don't think I would have got this humor, like, I wouldn't have been into it, so I'm kind of glad I watched it now.
Yeah. Okay. We should get to wrapping up here pretty soon. Last couple questions. Someone, Miku, or Meh, is asking me what I thought of Mad Men's ending. I liked it a lot. I thought it was simultaneously uplifting and deeply cynical. I think it was both of those things. But it was brilliant. That show is like Breaking Bad, Mad Men is basically perfect. The whole show is... It's like a really long, really great movie. So good. Hope couldn't get through it. It was too sad.
Well, I mean, I might try in the future, but it was...
No.
I got through half of the first season, and it was just, like, that whole show is... I didn't know it was going to be that much about women in the workplace. I mean, like, yeah, it's not the entire show, but it was about it way more than I thought it was, and it is so upsetting. Like, it's hurtful. Like, it's hard to watch. It just hurts to watch it, and it's painful. And so, yeah, I didn't... I can only make it about halfway through, and I'm like, this hurts me too much to watch as you know, somebody who has faced some of that stuff that these women are facing, except not as, like, it looks like a weird dystopian horror show, and then you're like, oh my god, this was real, and this was like 50 years ago, and it's scary, and it makes me not want to watch it anymore. And it's like, this was 50 years ago, this was real, this isn't fiction, this was real, this happened to women.
Yep.
Yeah, it's too sad, and I couldn't watch it.
Okay. So Follow the Pod asks, read any good books recently? I finished The Witcher 3 and loved it so much that I started reading the books. Not the best idea I've ever had. They're okay. I might skip ahead to where maybe it gets into or goes past. I don't read a lot of fiction. The other things I'm reading are the revised version of Saturday Night Live book, the oral history of SNL that came out. I just finished reading the book on Bob Woodward's book on John Belushi. Not Jim Belushi, John Belushi. That was terrifying in this level of detail. And I'm following that up with the book on Chris Farley. And then I want to read... there's a couple of different books about... I think I'm about to read In the Kingdom of Ice, which is like the first trek through the North Pole. I read dad books. I feel like I've gone into a dad book phase. That's what I'm reading now. I do a lot of reading, though. I've rediscovered it as a fun thing to do.
I like, watch movies I haven't caught up yet, or, like, nature documentaries, or, like, weird... Like, I watch, like, things like the what was it? There was a Pitbulls and Prisoners, like, sort of documentary on Netflix, and I watched that. But, like... I don't read books. If I'm bored, I don't read a thing. I look for a new thing to watch. So, yeah, I don't read books anymore. I read books all the time as a kid because it was the only thing that I had around, really. I didn't have cable till I was tweenish. But then, once I was tweenish, I just watched things. I didn't read anymore. But I read insanely much as a child. It was all I ever did. So I guess I burnt myself out, and I just had no desire to read anymore.
Somebody in the chat says, Zexer is interested in fat guys dying of drug overdoses. Okay, so the reason for that is there's a Chris Farley documentary that just came out called I Am Chris Farley that was mostly his friends saying, like, being unable to really articulate how they felt about it. It was mostly just a celebration of his life and his work. And I didn't really know the full story, and so that led me down the rabbit hole, and I was like, oh, right, there's a book about John Belushi I never read, so I read that. Now I'm going to go on to the Chris Farley book. You go down these little rabbit holes of interest sometimes. You dabble, and then you get out. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, comic performers dying prematurely of horrible drug problems is not a great rabbit hole to go down, but I was just interested.
Surprisingly deep rabbit hole, though.
Yeah.
I've been reading Disney War, which is sort of about, like, Michael Eisner and how he was ousted and all that.
That book is really old at this point.
No, it's pretty old, yeah. I don't read, like, current things sometimes.
It's still really interesting. I was thinking, like, when did I read that? Oh, like, 10 years ago.
Well, no, like, you talk about rabbit holes, and, like, I read, I'm also reading Michael Jackson, Inc., which is about, like, how he was turned into a business and just about the business side of that.
Oh, I've never heard of that. Is it good?
So far it is. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm sort of, like, the first part is way, way back in when he's, like the Motown days and all that. So it's not as interesting as the later stuff to me. So, but, it's interesting. It's interesting. I'm like about 20% through it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't get, like, a lot of time, so right. I sort of have to pick what I read. And I give up on stuff that's like, oh, this is not worth my time. But that I've been keeping up with in Disney War, both of those.
J.P. Cox is asking about Ms. Marvel, which I did start reading. I got through about 10 to 12 issues of it. I like it. It's good. The cool teen dialogue is a turnoff, but that's on me. That series is written by a millennial who I can't criticize it for being like, this is like a 40-year-old trying to appeal to teenagers. I can't criticize it that way. But I find cool teen dialogue to be a turnoff. It feels inauthentic, no matter who's writing it, I guess, which is, that's a me problem. That's not a problem with the book. But I thought the introduction to the character and the character itself in Ms. Marvel is really, really interesting. Like, I really like it a lot. It's very, I want to read more of it. I still have that Marvel Unlimited subscription, so I'll probably get through as much of it as I can. And then Jay Argumento asked, did you guys see Straight Outta Compton? We did.
Yeah.
It was really good. I thought it was really interesting. Like, I was captivated from top to bottom.
It did not feel its runtime.
Yeah, no, it was 2.5 hours. It didn't feel like it at all.
Nope. Just zip by.
Really interesting. Strongly, highly recommend that if you are interested in the period. I don't know that it would be super fascinating if you're just completely unfamiliar with any of that music.
Yeah, you need to kind of have some cursory knowledge.
Like, if you can name
Easter eggs in there.
If you can name 3 songs on the album, go see it.
Yeah.
If you can't, maybe read the Wikipedia article
or
first.
If you can name songs that Ice Cube and Dre did post. That any interest in that culture and that legacy of music, because it is a legacy, like, it changed a ton of shit. Like, if you have an interest in that at all, like, go see it. But if you don't, if you're just like, oh, I'll just go see this because people said it's good, I'm not sure it'll mean much to you, but yeah
I want to see it so much. Like, that's sort of like the number one thing I want to go to see, and I gotta try and find somebody who wants to go see it.
What was the last time you went to the movie theater?
I saw Trainwreck with my buddy Jennifer, and it was really funny.
I liked that movie a lot.
Yeah, it was really, really, like, more of, I went in, like, knowing nothing about it and just, like, laughed the whole time.
Okay, let's see here. Let's wrap up with these two. Tropius asks, thoughts on the Only Yesterday dub? Well, I'm really happy it's getting one. I'm really happy that's coming out on Blu-ray. I'm looking forward to revisiting it. I haven't seen it in a long time, so I definitely want to see it again. Brady, any thoughts?
Not really.
Same.
Cool, it's coming out. I've never seen it.
Oh, you've never seen it? You should see it. You'll like it. Maybe.
Maybe.
There's too much, like, action. That's the problem with that movie. There's not enough character building. They're constantly fighting, and then there's that, like, 15-minute battle in the train station, and it's like, man, just, okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, the last question is for Hope. Are you going to watch any more tokusatsu shows?
No. Like, I watched Gaim because Urobuchi wrote it, and I'm a big fan of his work. That's kind of it.
Not big on the tokusatsu?
I mean, I don't dislike it. It's just, it's fun, and I like watching single episodes and stuff like that. Like, it is fun. The biggest thing, as far as, like, being impressed by or being fascinated by tokusatsu, is that the fight choreography is, like, an art unto itself. Low-budget mm-hmm. fight choreography that looks like it hurts. They do really good with that. Like, you can feel the impact. It's not just, like, play fighting. You can feel the impacts on those stunt performers and the costumes and, like, moving and acting in the costumes and getting hit. Like, that stuff is great. But outside of that, it is children's entertainment. I know that there's tokusatsu shows for adults, but those aren't usually the ones people pass around. It's, like, family and children's entertainment. And I watch some of that stuff. I love Steven Universe. I used to love Adventure Time. You know, I like a lot of, I like Digimon, obviously, but I just, they're so long, like 50 episodes. Not enough time in my day. There's too much other stuff to do, to watch. I watched Gaim, and people say, the other thing that turned me off was, people say Gaim was, like, the best Kamen Rider, or, like, one of the best Kamen Riders yet, or ever. And it was like, oh, really? Because that was just, like, Madoka, but for kids. Well, anyway, you know, it's like, okay, well, I have other stuff that I can watch. You know, I'm sort of an artsy-fartsy person, and I'd rather spend my time watching artsy-fartsy things. Unless I'm watching reality show garbage, in which case I'm being a hypocrite. But anyway, I do watch reality show garbage a lot, so.
Yeah, if a show is, like, straight up for children, it's got to have some kind of special quality to it, like Steven Universe, or for a while, Gravity Falls.
Yeah.
I'm not really into Gravity Falls anymore, but
I gave up on that one.
Yeah, it's got to have something else to it. It can't just be like, okay, this is a really well made show for small children, which is totally fine. And I'm not, like, down on people like what you want. It doesn't matter to me. Right. Like, that's cool. You're really into it. Awesome.
I mean, I'm into movies. I'm into pop music. I'm into cultural trends, some TV, which is already times two, and anime, and some video games. It's like, I don't have space in my heart for, like, some comics, too. Like, I don't have, like, space for, like, another thing.
There's only so many hours in a day.
Yeah. I don't have space for another jump.
I say that as somebody who likes tokusatsu. Like, you know, I like Power Rangers. Like, that's not a big secret. But even though I like it, like, it's one of those things where, like, oh, I'll go through a phase where I want to watch a bunch of it, and it's, like, for me personally, it's sort of like when people get into reality TV. Like, I go to it, and I know it's not the hugest best thing, and I watch it when it's fun, and I don't feel, like, pressure to watch the next episode as soon as it airs. Like, if I don't see it, you know? It's like one of those, I'll watch it when it's fun, and then I won't watch it whenever I don't feel like it.
All right. Okay, I think that wraps us up. Brady, thanks a lot for coming on and shooting the breeze with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, of course.
It's always fun to have you on. All right, everyone, thanks a lot for listening. We will see you all next time.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Brady for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating or review. We would really appreciate it. And we'll see you all next week.